The Kingdom Chronicles is a prophetic adventure into the secrets of the Kingdom of God. The following teaching is by Alan Smith, entitled Lesson 3, Creating Your Reality.
This is a teaching on the real prophetic thinking. If it turns positive, so be it. But how could God speak and it not be for your good? Amen. So we're looking to hear and to sense the voice of the one that created you in the first place. I want us to, this teaching tonight, we'll start it. If you need any notes, just raise your hand. If you didn't get one, and Doug will bring it to you. If you need a note, you didn't get one, just raise your hands and we have some more. Now we're going to start this teaching tonight. Now this is my goal. If you didn't get the first teaching or the second, pick you up a copy, go online, download it, whatever. As a prophetic people, now this is what's important. I'm wanting to teach us how to hear better. So I'm trying to tune our hearts, which causes our ears to hear. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, he said, if you have ears, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, that is a true statement. It is real. I promise you, when you get so hooked on hearing the voice of God, you don't have to worry about sinning. You just don't have time. If you have time, you will. And you will too. And I will too. But as we hear the voice of God, we're so running after Him that it'll just consume your life and consume your day. So the goal of this tonight, now look at it up here. And also, as Terry Henry comes, we've got this easel up here. As the Holy Spirit gives you something to add to the picture, we had three pictures last week. I'm going to put them up. We're going to put them, I'm going to explain. We're going to have an explanation of these prophetic pictures that come forth. So as the Lord gives you something, let's just start our next picture. That's an incredible one, isn't it? Let's start the next picture, and then we'll just, we'll get on with it. Thank you. The prophetic voice of God. What we're looking is to train our hearts. My job is to give you something that I think will help you. You can go with me or you can fight me. I'm asking you to go with me. Don't hear what I'm not saying. And that's what happens in a prophetic teaching. The voice of the enemy is out there. The voice of criticism, a critical voice, it's out there. And so as that voice is out there, as I'm speaking, the Holy Ghost will say more to you than I'm saying. Have you felt that one? You know what I'm talking about, preacher? Listen, you're going to hear more than I'm saying. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will give it to your life in this area and that area. So kind of move with me. I promise you it's user-friendly and it won't hurt you. What we're after is to hear the voice of the Lord. Now, this is what I'm calling a secret revealed. That's what the Kingdom of Chronicles is about. It's about finding these secrets of the kingdom. I had one person say to me, Alan, do you really think that God has secrets? And the answer is yes. He says He does. His Word says it says that He does. But He first reveals them to who? His prophets, His people. God reveals His secret first to the prophets. Everyone that's in here. All the New Testament church are a prophetic people. Thank you very much. You're all prophetic. How many have the Holy Ghost in them? You are prophetic. One thing you got to do is tune your dial in to the Holy Spirit. He speaks to every one of us, sometimes in different ways. So I'll just share a few things with you in this secret. As we look at it, here's the secret I want to show you. Creating realities for what? Yourself and others. Say it with me. Creating realities for yourself and others. I'm going to move through this real fast because for our time. I want to move through it real fast. Your reality that you're living in today has been created mostly by how you think. We think our realities have been dealt to us. You say, well, this is just the deck of cards I've been dealt. This is just my life. I can't do anything about it. Excuse me. Let's watch it. Look at this. Helen Keller said this. The greatest tragedy in life is people with sight but no vision. You remember Helen Keller? Deaf, dumb, and blind. This is her quote. She didn't have any of it, but she had vision. God is looking for a people, because he says without a vision, the people will. Could it be important to have vision? Vision is the voice of God. It's speaking about the future. Now, perception, creating your reality. Now, this is, there again, I'm trying to change how you think. Is that man holding the sun? He's not really, but does it look like it? It looks like he's actually holding, but we know that, what's the perception of that picture? That he's holding the sun. Could it be that all of your perceptions are not correct? Could some of your perceptions be incorrect? So that's the first thing we need to understand. Our perceptions could be incorrect. Now, this teaching is very fundamental. This teaching is so important. So, you know, I get us all on the same page. This teaching is so important. If you're going to move into things of the Spirit, you got to let loose of some thinking in your brain. You have to let it loose. It's an anchor to you. It's holding you down. Now, I want you to understand the word perception. The realities governing the physical world are a reflection of what? The spiritual world. Good, bad, positive, or negative. Some of these realities are what? Implemented by how you are thinking. There's a building here that was perceived out of a vision. Are you sitting in it? Somebody's thinking created this reality tonight. True or false? True. So how you're thinking can produce realities. Now that goes deeper than you might even think. We create unfavorable conditions as well as what? Favorable ones. Now, prophetic people, you are speaking to people all over the world. I am looking, I believe by the Holy Spirit within me, I am looking for favorable realities to be spoken into the lives of people. So what are our prophetic words to look like? Are we going to predict something devastating to someone? Well, trust me, that'll take care of itself. What I'm looking for is what God's doing behind the scenes on behalf of those that have been devastated. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, if you want to really hear God easy, go for that one, because he's waiting to tell us. We try to fix our realities how? Externally, when their beginnings are actually... Isn't that amazing? We'll have this thought, well, if so-and-so would just act right, I'd feel better. Let me tell you something. How so-and-so feels has nothing to do with you getting better. Not a thing in the world. That is not what's creating your reality. What's holding you is you think if somebody act, if I had a better job, my husband did this, my wife did, I would be okay. I would be happy. False. False. Your happiness is in God, not in someone else. What is perceived or sown in our hearts is what? It's the truth. Here's the scripture, Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So you sow it where? You sow it in your heart. You sow it in your heart, and you reap that reality. You sow it in your heart, you reap the reality. You sow it in your heart, you reap the reality. You sow it in the heart, you reap the reality. What if we change what we were sowing in our heart? Get a favorable reality. Let's change the seed we're sowing in our heart. Let's get God's reality. I've been sowing my thoughts in my heart, and that's given me what I've got. I want to go higher. You want to go higher? Perception, what a word. Now look at it. I believe this word is the most powerful word in anyone's life. When I ask you, what does the word perception mean to you? Somebody tell me real quick. What does the word perception mean to you? How we see things. How we see things. Anybody else? How things appear. Just like that sun. just because it appears some way, it doesn't mean it's the truth. So what you've learned is some things that you see is not telling you the truth. Come on, somebody. Just because you see it is not believing. Because what you see can deceive you. You say, well, if I could just see it, I would believe it. Children of God, doesn't work. The Red Sea's in front of you. You're seeing it. It can be deceiving. So the people of God do not go by the realities they see. We go by what we cannot see. And the Word of God is our roadmap. It will not lie. It will give you a perception that you can follow and never be disappointed. It is real. It is true. It is just. It was even there in the beginning because it was the Word. And the Word was with God. Now try that perception. See if you're disappointed. If it says you can hold the sun, you go out in your front yard and grab her because it's there. Now, let's first look at its meaning. Now, here's the meaning. I want you to read it with me, please. Perception, observation, and interpretation based chiefly on memory. A perception is an observation. It's an interpretation. But it's based chiefly on memory. When you saw that guy holding the sun, you had an observation. First interpretation, there's a man holding the sun. Memory. Men can't hold the sun. So my memory overrode what I was seeing. Which is more powerful, what you're seeing or your memory? It's your memory. Can you see it? Your memory is more powerful than what you're seeing. Is that scary? You thought that you could look at something and make a correct observation. But you didn't know that your memory had more power than what you are actually looking at. You're looking at something and say, that's a reality. Not realizing that your memory is creating the reality that you are seeing. People of God, are you with me? Now I hope at this point you are not trusting what you see. Have I done a good job? You cannot trust what you're seeing. Perception is the result of what? Perceiving or seeing. It is how things what? It's how it looks to us. It's how something appears to us. Perceptions are the what? The prophetic tool for your future as well as for others. Your perception. Now please, people of God, if we're going to get these chronicles down, if we're going to hear from God and get some real stuff, you got to get this one. Perceptions are the prophetic tool for your future as well as for others. How you see things determines the realities that you're going to prophetically give. So don't work so hard on getting the right word. Work hard on having the correct perception. Someone's in need. Someone's been hurt by someone. You're looking, you're asking God, God, what's the word that I need to say to that person that is hurting so bad right now? What are you, God, saying behind the scenes that will bring healing and peace to this person? The voice of God will speak. Listen, the Holy Ghost will make you look a lot better than you really are. And it's okay. It's just so okay. I call it the spiritual makeup. You rub on a little bit of Holy Ghost and you look pretty to everybody. It's amazing. When you've got the Holy Ghost all over you, you can even say it wrong and it works. Don't struggle for the correct words. Struggle for the correct perception. Sometimes, perceptions even brings with it what? Sometimes a perception brings with it a mental image. Let me show you how this one works. Prophetic people, now stay with me. Once a mental image is created, the mind will almost always consider it as what? As fact. It is because we think we have seen it in the natural world. Now, prophetic people really have a problem with this one. You'll see something. You'll perceive something. You now understand that your memory is overriding even what you're seeing to determine and give definition to what you think you're seeing. Are you with me? That produces a mental image in your mind. That mental image, once we see an image two or three or four or five times, it's stored in our inner man or our subconscious as truth. Some of you have heard me say this before, that a repetitive thought over and over and over is stored in the subconscious as truth. I've taught you how you play a piano. You consciously have to think about playing the piano. After you do it enough, all of a sudden you start playing the piano and you're not even thinking consciously about it. It's because your subconscious has said this is true and it takes over automatically. Repetitive thoughts of the natural subconscious mind, repetitive thoughts, is stored in the inner man or subconscious man as truth, whether they're true or not. Imagery, repetitively, over and over, is stored in your subconscious or inner man as truth, whether it's true or not. So prophetic people, we have got a lot of deleting to do. We've got a lot of imagery stored within our spirit man that's not even true. Yeah. It's just not, it can be deceiving. It's just not true. Are you with me? I'm going to build you up. Once something has been seen in our mind's eye, it is stored in our minds under the history files. Remember the definition of perception. It is an observation and an interpretation based chiefly on memory. When Jesus Christ came into your heart and life, He has forgiven you. How many in here has been forgiven? What happens to the memory files as far as God's concerned? They are deleted. Listen, you just thought God was being a nice guy. He's got to delete those files so we can get on with the future. Because it will produce your imagery. It will produce the realities that you think you are seeing, but they're not reality at all. They've been created by your memory. Now you understand why Satan himself constantly brings up your past. He constantly reminds you of your history. I heard Carmen one time in a song say, let's just remind him, Satan, of his future. Amen? We can remind him of his future. Now, let's take a look at a perception creating reality. I'm going to move a little faster now. This is in Matthew 12:22, and it says, then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. Y'all remember the story? And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by who? Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. You know the story. Jesus was casting out demons. Isn't that amazing? The Pharisees were saying, oh, come on, y'all. He's got some power, but he's doing it by the power of the devil. Here's what I want you to see. Our perception, what does that say? Determines the reality we live in. Our perception determines the reality we live in, just like the Pharisees. Did they have a perception? Was their perception was that Jesus was casting out demons in what? The name of the devil. Did they perceive that? Yes, they did. Do you think their perception of the event and the person was correct? No. But that was their perception of Jesus. I think not. Not only was their perception off, it was completely the opposite of the... It was opposite of the truth. They had created their own personal reality based on their perception. Do you understand it now? Have you ever done this? You know, created your own reality based on your perception. You might say, well, Alan, you just don't understand my circumstance in life. I know I don't, but I do understand how we get what? Does anybody feel stuck sometimes? You're just stuck in life. And what's sticking you is, I do understand how we get stuck in life through our... how you're seeing things is what's got you stuck. Now, if we're going to be a prophetic people, we've got to get unstuck. What are we unstuck from? From our memory, which creates our perceptions. You're not seeing some things clearly. Is that okay? We're not seeing things clearly. Being stuck in life. I understand that the reason for your feeling stuck is because your perceptions are holding you where you are. The Pharisees were stuck, and they were stuck because they refused to be what? Teachable. They refused to allow their perceptions to be challenged and changed. Are you and I like the Pharisees is the question. Or do we want to be challenged and do we want to be changed? Let's take a closer look at how our perceptions have been created and guarded. Now listen, this is very, very important if you want to hear the voice of the Lord. We have to change how we are thinking. We change how we're thinking, I promise you the voice of the Lord is going to be there. Our perception. And the eyes are the what? The eyes of the soul. The body has physical eyes, which we see, physical things. Our soul has eyes also. These eyes are our perceptions. Isn't that amazing? Your eyes of your soul and of your spirit, man, is your perceptions. This is how we view the world and all of those that are in it. How we see things will determine how we react and respond to situations and circumstances. Now let's look at this new definition of the word. Perception, observation, and interpretation based what? Chiefly on memory. Memory is to perception what sunglasses are to the eyes. Memory, like sunglasses, influences what and how we see. Now let me ask you a question. Now, as I'm teaching, if the Lord gives you something to put on this thing up here, that's fine. You just come on. It doesn't bother me in the least. As you're hearing the voice of the Lord move, you just move with it. Perceptions are created by our what? Observations passing through our memory influences. These memories influences are created by our what? Our past experiences. Therefore, our seeing or our perceptions of life today must pass through our past experiences to create the reality we are living in today. I had one friend of mine, and he was trying to sell these houses, and he said to me, he said, Alan, I shouldn't have done it. I just made a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. The whole time, his perception of the project was failure. That was his perception. And I said, man, I talked to him. I said, you really need to change how you're thinking. I think your perception might be creating your reality. So that was stretching him a little bit. And he said, I explained it to him a little more. He said, okay, I'm going to change my way of thinking. I said, well, just don't let it come out of your mouth. Just say, I did this. I felt like the Lord led me in doing this, and I'm going to do it, and I'm believing that my perception is going to change. It's going to be a positive perception. Within less than 3 months, he sold them. Isn't that amazing? You say, well, Alan, did that have anything to do with it? The only thing I can tell you is how you are thinking can create your realities. How you're thinking can create your realities. Now, the perceptions of the Pharisees created not only their realities, but reality of the fate of Christ. Isn't that amazing? What happened to Christ? Was he crucified? Yes. I know our sins put him on the cross, but their perceptions of him ultimately caused the fate of Christ. The Pharisees were stuck. They were stuck in their religious perceptions, which in turn equaled death and not life. I'm going to give you a key right here. You ready for a key? New birth of perceptions. Do you want to hear God and see God move more? You got to develop eyes and ears to see and to hear. Did you know God's been moving all the time? We're calling for God to come and move. What if he was moving and I just couldn't see it? Oh my goodness. Things of the supernatural have two speeds. One's faster than the naked eye, and the other one's slower than the naked eye. Things of the spiritual world have two speeds, faster than the naked eye and slower than the naked eye. Can you see a plant grow? Is it a supernatural phenomena that a plant grows? Can you make it happen? No. Can man make it happen? No. That is a supernatural phenomena. But your naked eye can't see it. I can see a before and I can see an after. Well, if my naked eye can't see spirit, what happens? That means I've got to see it with another eye. Did you know you had another eye? It's a single eye. It's one eye. I'll tell you about one eye one day. Teach you more about the one eye. You see spirit with the one eye. And it can see the parameters of faster than the naked eye and slower than the naked eye. We can now look at ourselves a before and after picture in the spirit. And I can see a change. I can see a change in a plant, in a person. Your very growth, your very life is all held by the breath of the supernatural power of God. Just because you can't see with the naked eye doesn't mean it's not happening. God's moving all the time. We just need to see Him. Is anyone feeling stuck in a dead life and not a life that is always coming into more excitement and to a more abundant life? Well, perhaps we need to allow our perceptions to be what? Come on. Did you know that you got born again, but some of your thinking didn't? We've got some baggage that we needed to leave at the bus station. You got too much baggage. Our perceptions, how we think, needs to be born again. We need to replace our memory with what? We need to replace our memory with faith. You say, well, Alan, I have faith. No, you have to make room for faith. Faith's got to have a room. That's the reason your memory of your bad past and all that is cluttering your house. As long as you leave it there, the room's full. Why do you think God told us to forgive one another? When you truly forgive, you've just cleaned out a room. Isn't that nice? You notice how clean you feel when you've forgiven someone? Now, the last greatest frontier in forgiveness is yourself. It's easier to forgive others, but it's harder to forgive yourself. Isn't that amazing? Most of us can't. But Jesus did. Did you know Jesus forgave you? God has forgiven you. It's the lack of faith in Him that causes us not to agree with Him. So we call for that. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So that's not history files. Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. So we're to hope for what? Yeah, but get a little closer to faith. We're to hope for substance. We're to hope for substance. That means when we're given a prophetic word, we're looking for some substance. Not some pie in the sky, something you can't, it's not tangible. We're looking for substance of things that we're going to hope for somebody. Now, remember this. Your hope is the beginning of a prophetic word from God. Come on. Are you with me? Your hope is the beginning of a prophetic word from God. Have you not hoped for some things for people that you're like, this will never happen? That was from God. Without God, it can't. He's just asking you to hold it, that hope, and let that thing incubate. Just keep it warm. Protect that hope. Cover it up from the elements. Keep it nice and snug. Let that hope incubate. One day, it'll be born into a reality where there was no hope. Listen, God has limited Himself to to work through His people. Does God need us? Yes. He's the one that did it, not us. Don't sit there and think God doesn't need you. He does need you. It's the reason He created you, was to show His mercy and grace through that that He created. He has limited Himself. He has done this. Can God do anything He wants to? Yes. But He has limited Himself. Because He said, I want to speak, but I'm going to speak to a people. A people that loves me. I'm going to speak to them. They're going to speak for me. Kingdom Chronicles is about learning how to hear from Him so we can speak for Him. This can be done. You can do this. Faith is what? It's a prophetic act. Perception, now empowered by the Holy Spirit, has permission to replace memory of the past with faith for the future, thus changing the power of your perception into a favorable reality. Now listen, prophetic people, you got to get this one. If you remember anything, memorize this one. We replace memory of the past with hope of the future. So I want to have an observation. Someone just got hurt. I want to have an interpretation. They're hurt really bad. My perception's going to be, God, what are you going to do on behalf of this person? I want hope, God, for this person. God, I want to feel it. I want hope. Now, as you're having hope for the situation, you'll start having imagery. You'll start feeling an impression. I can give you a paper on Pastor Benjamin. You can look at it. You can read it. You can feel it. Say, God, I can see. If you'll sit there and read that thing and look at it, God will start showing you Pastor Benjamin. You'll see Him. Come on. You'll see Him. You'll see Him. You'll see Him walking. You'll see Him working over there. It's okay. You're not going crazy. Yeah, there probably is. Some people just said it and seen Him when I said that. You'll see Him. And you say, okay, God, yes, I see Him. You'll see Him working. And all of a sudden, you'll start seething this stuff. Have you read my Four Winds, any of you? What happens is I just sit down and I say, okay, God, I want to see in the Spirit. I want to see. Let me see. And I start seeing. I just start writing what I see. That's all. You don't have to be smart. I'm proof of that. You just got to see. And let God give it to you. You write it. You say it. So you start seeing this imagery. You might hear an impression. You might not see it. You might hear something. You might hear him. You might hear a word. Pastor Benjamin's on a path. He's on a trail. He's going to see a family. It's a lady and three children. He's going to minister to them. God, I pray right now, the power of Jesus, that you'll meet him. You'll keep him safe on that trail. He's going at night. You'll keep him safe on that trail. Give him the words to say to that family, oh God, in Jesus' name, amen. There it is. The only thing I did was I just said what I started seeing. You said, Alan, can you trust it? The answer is no, but I can trust God. How many things work together for good that them love the Lord? I love the Lord and I love Benjamin. So is that going to work together for His good? Listen, I'm just crazy enough to try it. But I've tried it for years. It works. It just works. When Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said to him, the disciples, He said, there's some things y'all aren't ready for yet, but the Holy Ghost is going to lead you in it, so I'm gone. I'm out of here. See you, bye. So He said, you bye, left His Holy Ghost to show us more. You can trust the person. Listen, I can trust that prophetic word I just gave you about Benjamin more than what I can see. Say, Alan, you're crazy. Well, leave me alone. Perception is your own personal prophecy empowered by faith. Listen, there's some of you, most of you are sitting here tonight. And there has been a time that you have said there's no way you'd be sitting here. There's things in your life that you said, I cannot be here, I will not be here. The circumstance, my life's over as I know it. Has anybody done that one? Oh mercy, I'm taking too much time, I got to hurry. Be a guardian of prophecy. A perception is what? It's creative. I just had a perception that I directed on Pastor Benjamin. It's creative. Perception based on memory can cause your realities to do what? Repeat themselves. I can look at the news about Kenya, and I can give a prophecy based on the news, which is old, matter of fact. By the time you get it, it's already old. And then I can say, oh no, this is happening over there. Well, forget that. It's going to take care of itself. Get something fresh from God. Perception based on faith can cause your realities to create new things. So your perception of Benjamin can start into reality new things for his life. Let's look at another passage of Scripture that is based on a healthy perception. A perception based on a deliberate influence of hope of the future and not of the what? Of the past. Now this is in Matthew. I'm going to move right quickly. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if only I touched his cloak, I would be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said, your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed from that very moment. She was not willing to let her past history dictate her future. She just wasn't willing. Her perception of Jesus was different from that of the Pharisees, was it not? Her perception of him created a reality of faith, which in turn created an influence of what? Of hope. Her perception was being influenced by the hope of a brighter future because her perception of Jesus was that he loved her and what? Cared for. Do you have that perception of Jesus? He loves you and he cares for you. Her perception created what? A new reality in her life. She changed her way of thinking. I realize that what I am saying here might be a stretch for you. Your life will not change until you change your perceptions about you and about your life. If your perceptions stay the same, then your life will keep repeating itself over and over. Amen? Your past history will dictate what? The future of your life. Let's change our perception so that the future we are about to walk in will create a positive history for us to look back on. I'm finishing up here. Now go with me. Let's look into what a healthy perception, a healthy way of thinking looks. A healthy perception is a perception of life based on an influence of what? Of faith for the future and not an influence of memory from the past. When we leave from here tonight, you can turn on the news. At work, everything's going to start bombarding you on how bad and hopeless everything is. So as a people of God, we've got to change our way of thinking so that these outside influences doesn't change our true realities. A kingdom definition of perception. A perception, observation, and interpretation based chiefly on faith and not what? Not memory. A fresh perception equals something. It equals what? All right, I'm about to finish up. Now this one, you have, please get this. Because if you get it, it's going to produce for us prophetic words from God that are going to be real. They're going to be right on. And it's not going to be based on history. It's going to be based on the voice of God. Fresh perceptions equal renewed mind. You remember the scripture? Romans. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and what? You can know what is that good. You see it? You may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's your definition of a prophetic word. You want to know what a prophetic word sounds like, prophetic people? That's the definition. Number one, it's going to be good. What do you think about that one? I didn't write it. I'm just giving her a report. Number one, it's going to be good. Don't come to me and tell me how everything's going to hell in a handbag. I'm going to say, well, what are we going to do about it? Going to hell in a handbag. If it's somebody, we're going to give them the gospel. We're going to tell them what they can do about hell in a handbag. If it's their life and there's all hell there, we're going to show them what God's saying about that. If you want to know what a prophetic word is, it's a, you can prove it, it's going to be good. It's going to be acceptable. Not only that, it's going to be perfect. Because you're going to be telling them the will of God. You say, Alan, we can't do it. Yeah, we can. Yeah, we can. Yeah, we can. Yeah, we can. We can do it. We can do it. God does not lie. We just got to find it. We just got to get there. I want you to look at this word renewing. See the first word up there I've got underlined? Here's a Greek definition. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. It's a primary word. New, youthful, or what? Fresh. Say fresh. Say, Alan, I like fresh. A renewing means your mind's going to get fresh. Anybody want a fresh mind? Renewing means your mind's going to get... If you're going to get it fresh, it means you got to get rid of the old cabbage. Right? You're going to get fresh. See, your memory is what's holding your renewing back. Come on now. I'm sorry. You cannot hang on to it anymore and poor mouth this stuff. Well, you wouldn't believe what God delivered me from 30 years ago. Paul said, I knew a man. He didn't even talk about him. I knew a man. Heard Bob Jones say that one time. Somebody said, well, Bob, I heard this happen to you. He said, nah. Bob said, I knew a man that did that a long time ago. Don't remember what his name was. That's about all I know. His mind had been renewed. Do you think Bob can hear from God? Renewed mind. Fresh. So if you want a fresh mind, you got to let the old mind go. You want a fresh one. Now, here's what the word mind means. To know, to allow, to be aware, knowledge. You see what else it means? Perceived. The word mind in the Greek form there means what you are perceiving. So a renewed mind means fresh perceptions. You want a renewed mind? It's got to be fresh perceptions. In other words, God gives us a fresh perception. And it's based on faith, not on history. The only good of your history is so you can throw it away. This is a new day. Say it's a new day, somebody. Hey, this is a new day. God's going to speak fresh into this new day if you'll let Him. Lord, pour us out faith. Lord, I pray for the spirit of faith. God, baptize us in faith. Baptize us in faith, oh God. I'm about finished. A fresh perception can change your present reality. Let's look at it in Matthew. During the fourth watch, you know the story of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw Him walking on the lake, they were what? They were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's You, Peter replied, tell me to come to You on the water. Kind of cool. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Cried out, Lord, save me immediately. Jesus reached out His hand and called him. You have little faith, he said. Why do you what? Why do you what? What came upon Peter when he started to sink? Fear. Did Peter get a word from Jesus? What was that word? Come. Walk on this water, Peter. Come right here. Peter got a word from Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Something came against that word. What was it? It's fear. Fear and doubt. Are you ready for a prophetic truth? You can go home tonight, write down where you're fearful and where you have doubt. And behind that is a prophetic word from God to you. Find what you fear. Find what you doubt. See, fear and doubt has an assignment. Its assignment is to come against a word of the Lord. That's its assignment. That's the reason you have fear and doubt. Everywhere I see fear and doubt, when I'm talking with people of their fear, their doubt, I say, okay, boy, this is going to be cool. There's a word of God behind that. You just talk to them a little bit, and you keep working that thing backwards till you find out the word of the Lord that they've got. Once they remember it, the fear and doubt's gone. They think you set them free or something. They think you're some spiritual giant. You didn't do nothing. Only thing you did was, you recovered the word of the Lord in the house of the Lord. Remember that story? you recover the word of the Lord in the house of the Lord. God's had given you some words, just like Peter. They're still true. You doubt them now. You have fear that they'll never happen. The fear and the doubt has been sent to destroy the word of the Lord. The will of God for Peter was for him to do what? To walk on water. Peter's fresh perception from Christ trumped the physical reality of water, thus creating a new reality. Can people walk on water? No. I've tried it. I confess. Tried it three times, sunk all three times. I said, God, something's wrong. I believe your word. Finally, the Spirit of the Lord, third time down. The Spirit of the Lord says, Alan, that was a word to Peter. Revelation time. I should have checked the revelation before I tried to jump it. No walking. You see, God's word to Peter, the Lord's word to Peter is walk on water. He walked on water. When he got that word from the Lord, the deal is not the walking on the water. The deal is he got a word from the Lord. And that word from the Lord superseded natural realities. So you can look at your life. You can have an observation and a perception based on realities. That hadn't got a thing to do with the word of the Lord for you. Preacher Benjamin, he could have all kinds of stuff in his life and all kinds of reality. They don't have a cotton-picking thing to do with one word from God. Because a word from God supersedes physical realities. Are you with me, people of God? Come on, let's quit being so blame practical. Let's get a little bit spiritual here. We've got to get spiritual. Peter had a perception change. His memory said what? He could not walk on water. Was that what his memory said? Can you see it? His memory said you cannot walk on water. But his fresh perception from God said what? Isn't that amazing? But you say, Alan, you got to be practical here. Why? Who said? I gave all that up when I came to Jesus. I wanted more than practical. I wanted more than reasonable. I wanted something supernatural. So I started trying to learn the ways of God. What is going on with God? God, how are you thinking? God, you don't think like I think. So I need to leave my way of thinking, find God's way of thinking. I have found out that if I get a word from God, do you think a word from God could have been important to Peter at that point in time? Pretty important. Well, what if we give a word from God? Could it be important? Could words of God be important? Yes. Did it change Peter's reality? Yes. Did it supersede natural realities? Yes. It just needs someone to hold it and believe it. Your battle of warfare is what? Fear and doubt. You'll get a word for somebody and we'll be doing it in here. You'll have fear and doubt. You'll sit back here and say, no, I can't do that. No, that's not God. Oh, they'll laugh at me. Oh, that sounds pretty dumb. Walking around a wall seven times and shouting it falling down sounds pretty dumb to me too. Listen, you've got to decide if you're going to trust him or not. Your word could change the very reality of someone walking on water. In which perception will you walk? Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Do you see the perception of faith? Do you see it? Now, I'm about finished. This is a perception based on hope and not on history repeating itself. My prayer for you and I will be that we will let our perceptions be what? Be born again. How do we know if this happens? It's because our lives will be full of faith. Faith that all things are possible to those that believe. We keep believing in personal prophecy that is created from a perception of your life based on faith. Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to who? To him that believe. Listen, people of God, I believe this. I believe that God birthed Kingdom Chronicles to blow a fresh breath into the dry bones. Now, we can carry a trumpet all day long, but it's got to be some wind come out of this thing.